We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, and we are joined by Bills General Manager Doug Whaley. You are in your element with all of these prospects around you, right?
Absolutely, Murph. This is our season, kicked off around this time every year.
Hey, Doug, it's been an interesting week already for the Buffalo Bills with the coaching staff, I'm sure, occupying some of your attention this week. First of all, with Mike Patton. Coach Marone told us the other day that you guys have a plan in place if Coach Patton gets the Cleveland job. Is that right?
We have to. We don't want to be caught with our hand off guard. We do have a plan in place, and we'll have to see, hopefully soon, if we're going to have to execute it or not.
Are you frustrated that it has taken this long, that you're this, you know, you're in the third week of January and there's that kind of uncertainty on your staff?
It's a concern for us because even though you do have a plan, the longer it goes, it may throw a wrench in that plan. And also, I'm sure it's a little frustrating for Coach Patton. You really like to hear an answer one way or another as soon as possible so he could even get his staff together.
It's the sign of a team, maybe a team that's improving, though, that your coaches would be poached by other NFL teams. That's a good thing, even though it might hurt.
It's a good thing and a bad thing. Obviously, you want to – everybody has aspirations, and as well – better we do, more people are going to get poached, but you also want to have some continuity, especially on that side of the ball, and then make some strides to help us get a little more – a couple more wins.
And Coach Marone mentioned to us the other day that the team is interested in hiring a quarterback's coach. Talk about that decision and maybe the profile of what you, kind of guy you would be looking for at that position.
Well, we looked at it this way. This is a quarterback-driven league. So why not give every resource to EJ to be successful? And as EJ goes, we go. I think talking to Coach, he would like a guy that had some experience at the position or has been a veteran quarterback coach for a while, not only the technical aspects of the position, but the overall just being a professional quarterback, because we don't have that veteran influence in that room right now.
And Coach Marone went to great pains when we talked to him earlier this week to say it's really not a reflection at all on Nathaniel Hackett, who worked with the quarterbacks and was the offensive coordinator, but it's mostly because, you know, you didn't have that veteran presence in that quarterback room.
I agree, and that was a hefty workload to put on a first-year coordinator, not to get three different quarterbacks ready, actually four if you count Kevin Cobb, and go through the game plan and be able to call plays. We just thought it would be better for everybody involved, from EJ to Nathaniel to our team, just to put another voice in that room.
Talking with Doug Whaley, the Bills general manager at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, and we are just about 7 weeks away from free agency. You've got your personnel people here, including Jim Manos. For him, this is a year-long thing, isn't it, taking a look at free agency?
Absolutely. I mean, not only with the college guys, but with the pro guys, our pro department, Tommy Givens, Rob Hanrahan, those guys are constantly on the go and always looking at guys, because every day there's free agents out there. So it's something that you can never get a handle on. But those guys do a great job of trying to keep us informed of who's out there, who's available, and where should we go with our needs.
Can you take us into the structure of, like, the draft? Do you have a free agent board that, you know, at different positions? Is that pretty like a mirror image of what you do for the draft almost?
Absolutely. We have, we just set it up before we came down here. We set up the free agents, the unrestricted free agents by position. And then what we'll do is we have certain positions that we think will be interesting to us, and we'll pull out certain guys that we think we target that we'll have a chance to either look at or go talk to or try to get. And then when we get back, we'll give them to the coaches, and then we'll have a draft board, a free agent board set up just like the draft board. We'll do it by position and regardless of position, and we'll also splice in our free agents in there.
A year ago, in your role as personnel director, you guys, I would think, were pretty happy with what you got out of free agency. Not big splash guys, but when you look at Alan Branch, Manny Lawson, even some of the guys you picked up later on in season, you had to be pretty happy with the way that worked out.
Extremely happy, and I think we're going to stay that course. We're going to go for value picks, guys that we can come in and can contribute, and we get a real good return on our investment.
And if you're going to get a value pick, Doug, do you sometimes have to wait them out a little bit, wait for the market to clear, wait for them to get a sense of what their market value might be?
And we call them dust settle guys. Yeah. After all the dust settles, then we'll go after. But we can target guys now, and then we'll say dust settles, but we can still go with them on the first day and say, hey, this is what we're looking at you for, your role, and what we're trying to offer. But they're not going to be the big name splash guys.
And do guys respond well to that? The free agents respond? Everybody wants to maximize their value, obviously, but how do they respond when you go in early in free agency and say, here's what we think your value is?
If you got a guy that's realistic and he has a good agent, then they're ready to at least know what their value will be out in the market, because you have that 3-day period where they can talk to agents, so they'll have a good sense of where people are pegging them value-wise.
Doug, you've got your own unrestricted free agents who would hit the market on March 11th. At the end of the year, the day or two after the season ended, you talked about Jarris Bird. Has there been any talks, any progress at all with Jarris since then?
Well, we just finished putting mapping out our plan for the offseason right before we came down here. Jim Overndorf's getting some paperwork together, and we're going to send out some offers to our free agents and go from there.
On Jarris for a second, going to the Pro Bowl this week, taking, I think, a big chunk of his defensive backfield teammates with him, and maybe even Coach Donnie Henderson. Pretty good indication that he likes what went on there in the defensive backfield this past year, isn't it?
It would seem so. Everything we've heard, that he really enjoys Coach Henderson. He loves his teammates. I think he likes the defensive scheme that Coach Pettine employs. So all those are positives, and hopefully we can use that in our negotiation.
One more thing on Jarris. It went long last year, but I never got the sense that it was acrimonious or there was real bad blood between your side and his agent and him. It was a financial dispute. It didn't seem like it got negative in a personal way at all.
He's a professional, and we both try to make sure that we both sides know it's nothing personal. It's just business.
Without getting into specifics, you do have some other notable free agents: Chandler, Carrington, Carpenter, Jimmy Leonard. Are you saying that you've set already your priority of who you want to bring back?
We set our priority of the guys we want to get back, the value we want to have them back at, and then we'll go down the list and see. We will not be able to get everybody. In this system now with the salary cap, you can't sign everybody, but you want to start at the top and have a priority list and go down from there.
And, Doug, are you comfortable with the cap room that you have? Are you going to be able to get done what you need to get done with the cap room?
We feel we will not be prohibited with lack of cap space to get done well. Now, again, we won't be able to do everything. But going down our priority checklist, we hope we can get most of the things done that we need to get done.
Catching up with Bills General Manager Doug Whaley. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Here at the Senior Bowl, Doug, and this is only my second. You've been here many times. But compared to last year, my maybe initial sense is this Senior Bowl lacks star power in some sense. Is that right?
Well, a lot of star power are in the league now. Yeah. You got a lot of, and it seems like it's going to be a continuing trend that a lot of the guys that will be seniors are coming out earlier and earlier. So you're going to have you're not going to have that depth that you're used to having because the seniors aren't staying in.
Just about 100 underclassmen declared for the draft this year, record numbers. What do you think of that trend? I think it's all about money, obviously, but what does that do, not just to this game, but to the process, to the draft, and maybe to the overall play in the league?
It's tougher on us as scouts because you cannot look at those guys or talk about those guys until they officially declare, which the list came out on Monday or Sunday. So we got to start our process then, so it condenses all that information and into a short time period. So it makes us work a lot harder, and it's tough because those are usually the best players. So you want to be as thorough as possible, but you don't have the whole fall, so it's a time pressing matter. I don't know why this trend is going this way. I'm not sure. A lot of people say because of the new CBA and you're not going to lose that much money coming out early if you're a third pick compared to a fourth round pick, but you start your clock earlier and you can get to that second contract. That's what you're hearing about a lot of guys, and also the work rules in the NFL. Because of the lack of practice and hitting, they're thinking, all right, well, I can save my body a little more than the practice rules in college. So I think there's a lot of combination of things, but you probably have to talk to agents and the underclassmen to see why each one is doing it.
You talk about what it does to your scouts. What does it do to your area scouts out on the road during the season, making their visits, watching practices? Do they have to kind of widen their scope knowing that some of these underclassmen are going to, could be on the table when it comes to the following spring?
Well, what we like to do is we condense their areas so they can have a better feel for everybody at that school. You could watch a guy as a freshman and not scout him, but be aware of him. And so if he does, after his third year or a junior year or redshirt sophomore year, if he does decide to come out, at least you have a basis to start on. And that helps you out a lot.
And with all these underclassmen, Doug, do you think it impacts the caliber of play? Are you getting a finished product when you get some of these freshman or first-year players in the league?
That's a good question.
Maybe it's too soon to say.
Yeah, it's too soon right now. You just never know. There's some guys, obviously, the really good guys, it won't. But I think the back-end guys, what we're thinking, though, if you got 100-and-some guys coming out early, that's three rounds. So that's three rounds of players that are either not going to get drafted, which we think will help us in free agency, like college free agent guys, and get better guys like that. So,
I'm sorry to interrupt. I wonder if it puts a premium on coaching. Because you're getting a younger player who might not have the kind of experience that other guys would have.
Oh, yes, it does. It puts a premium on developing players, and that's one of the things that Coach Marone preaches to his staff. When we get them, we got to develop them. They're ours.
Along with the underclassmen, there's also 30 or more players who just elected not to attend the Senior Bowl this year for various reasons. Does that do them a disservice, or does it make it a little tougher for you when you don't get this week to evaluate?
It makes it tougher because you always want to see him going against some of the better competition all in one place. Obviously, some people say it's a business decision. Other people say injuries or whatever. But one thing that you really like to see is a guy that's not afraid to compete. And that kind of – I mean, you can't hold it against a guy, but you really like guys that say, you know what, I'm coming to the Senior Bowl and I'm showing everybody that I can pee at the highest stage.
I wonder if that question comes up when you sit down with those guys, say, at the Combine. Do you ask that question? Why didn't you go to the Senior Bowl?
Yes, and then, again, some of them will be, well, my agent told me this, or injuries, or they always have an answer for it. But none of them really say, well, I don't feel like I didn't want to compete.
Right. So what does that leave us with here at the Senior Bowl, Doug? I mean, I guess – how many first-rounders do we have here at the Senior Bowl this year?
That's hard to tell. There'll be a sprinkling of some first-rounders, second-rounders, and third-rounders, but you'll get a glut of these guys, I think, will be in that 2-5 range.
Do you have a sense of what the strongest position groups are here this week in Mobile?
Right now, I'd have to say there's a depth at every position. I haven't seen one position that's stronger than the other. There has been some pass rushers guys that haven't been flashing, some edge rush guys. So right now, that I'd say that has jumped out to me the most.
There's a perception among Bills fans and media that the Bills would be interested in finding a bigger wide receiver. Is that accurate?
I think everybody in the NFL would like to have a big wide receiver because in this game, big wins. So, but it's not going to preclude us. We're in a position now, Murph, where we can take the best player available. We don't have any glaring, pressing needs. Some people may say we do, but we could go across the board on any position as long as we feel it could upgrade us and make us better.
It's interesting you say that. Somebody else from the organization mentioned the exact same wording the other day. When do you feel you got to that position? Is that something you arrived at the end of this past season?
We just looked at when you look at the cornerstones of most organizations, you got to have a quarterback, which we think we have, a left tackle, which we think we have, a corner, which we think we have, and a pass rusher, which you think you have. Those are the cornerstones of building any team. So if we got those guys in place, we just add pieces around them.
A couple of more questions. Back to the Senior Bowl group. We talked about big wide receivers. As a group, what do you think of, you know, Jordan Matthews, Cody Hoffman, Aberderis, just that whole group that you have here, big wide receivers?
It's intriguing, and it gives us options, and we like big guys that play big, and those guys all play big, and I mean that by they reach out and catch. We call them hand catchers. So if they're 6'3", 6'4", and they don't catch it in their body, then they're playing at their 6 foot. But if they catch it outside their body with their hands, they're playing at 6'6", 6'7". So those are the big receivers that really intrigue you.
When we watched practice with our little group here in Mobile this week, it struck me, Doug, how the quarterback grouping has changed. Talk about star power. There were stars here in Mobile at quarterback last year. Maybe Derek Carr and that's it as far as, you know, premium level quarterbacks here at the Senior Bowl.
Well, you look at it, most of the premium quarterbacks are underclassmen, and they're not allowed to participate in this game. So, and it's going to – I think it's just, like you said, it's a trend. Most of the higher-rated guys are going to be coming out earlier, and they're not allowed to participate.
You know, how does it work here this week in Mobile, your scouts interfacing with Coach Marone and the coordinators? How much meeting time do you guys get together, and what do you do?
We'll meet every night over at the station. where they have the interviews. So the coaches can go over there and sit down on interviews. And it's good because the scouts know what questions to ask because they've scouted these players. They know some red flags that they want to dive into and get better information on. And then at practice, we all sit around and coach will say, hey, what about this guy? What about that guy? And then we'll have those area scouts that have scouted guys and say, hey, coach, this is what he's all about. This is his strengths, his weaknesses, and all of that stuff.
We know from our conversation with you a year ago here at the Senior Bowl that at the end of this week, towards the end of this week, you get together and look ahead with the Blesto meetings. Tell our listeners what that's all about.
Well, this will be our first chance to talk to the Blesto, which is our scouting service, on any guys that they upgraded from the fall. So if they upgraded a guy, gave him a better draft grade, they'll go over those guys, and then they will also give us a breakdown of all the juniors that came out and put them in a category, either A, B, C, or D. And then that helps us, especially myself and Jim Monas, be able to funnel our attention to the higher-rated guys.
Doug, I got to tell you, the few days we've been in town, a handful of people that come up to me and say, hey, they see the Bills gear. They say, hey, is Buddy Nix here? Where's Buddy Nix? He's a popular guy. People look for him, and he's here. I mean, I've seen him. You're special assistant now. Tell me how you put him to work here and how he's been able to help.
He's a great resource for me, and I'd be remiss if I didn't use it. Any major decision or any free agent we think about bringing in, I'll say, hey, Buddy, take a look at this guy. What do you think? We're after this Blesto meetings, we're going to give him a list of some of the top rated guys and have him look at those guys. We're going to give him some of the particular free agents that we have pegged as interesting, also have him look at it. So he's just a resource. With that wealth of knowledge, again, I would be remiss if we didn't pick his brain and use him to the fullest advantage.
Before we let you go, I want to kind of go back to something you said when you talked about your view of your roster and what you have on this roster. And it sounded like pretty unwavering commitment to EJ Manuel, which may not be, you know, the opinions held by some Bills fans. But talk about that, how strongly you believe in EJ, what you saw the first year, and what you need to see moving forward.
Well, we need to see him stay healthy. And with any young quarterback, you're going to have some ups and downs and some growing pains. But the one thing, and I said it at the year-end press conference, when we needed him most, he always gave us a chance to win. So that clutch gene, we believe he has it. And that's one thing we can build on. And we'll put some more pieces around him, a whole year of being able to be in a system, because you got to think about it. He came in, he went through his junior year, worked out to for his senior year, went through a senior year, worked out for quarterback-specific drills in the combine and his pro day, and then he came here and he learned a whole new system. So now he's a little more comfortable in his skin, I say, because he knows what to expect out of practices, he knows what to expect out of the playbook, and now he can dive in and just be all football all the time and not other things of what we call the banquet circuit right before the draft process.
What can you do to keep him healthy, both in the offseason and when play begins again next fall?
I think one thing, the Cleveland incident, he learned from to get down. And those other two knee injuries, I don't want to say it, but they were freak accidents. They were, you very rarely have two LCLs in 1 year. I think we did a study, there was 9 LCLs in a 5-year period, and our guy had 2 of them. So we're not really worried about him being an injury prone, as people say. We just chalk it up as just one of those unfortunate circumstances that happened.
Doug, you've said it. Russ Brandon has said it. Coach Marone has said it. It's a results-oriented business, and you finished with 6 wins last year. You seem confident that moving forward, you're headed in the right direction, and there are better times ahead.
Well, we feel confident if we had CJ for 16 games, and with his continued growth and improvement, and us putting pieces around him to be successful, improvement on the defense, we believe that's what we're out here to do, and that's win games and get to the playoffs.
Thanks very much for doing this. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, Murph.
Doug Whaley, the Bills general manager, our guest, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama on Buffalo Bills Radio.